Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Mem Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei, our topic heading, and we have an indication that it's Ad Omid Beis. In other words, the topic is a rather long topic. Dinoi Shel Rav Chisda. We'll be featuring Rav Chisda's halacha, and you can see we have a firebox marking around Rav Chisda, an indication that will be preoccupied with what he says for over an omid of Gemara. And what does he say? Ein ha-kinim. Kinim are bird offerings. A person who has a requirement of bringing a bird offering, he'll buy 2 birds. One is a chatos and one is an ola. And we say that these birds are not identified. Ein ha-kinim nikbos. They're not established as to eizo la-oila ve-eizo la-chatos. Ela oi b'shas l'kicha, oi b'shas asiyo. Other than at the time you purchase it, or at the time it is being slaughtered. However, any time between, you cannot establish the identity of the birds. If you didn't choose which bird is going to be the ola and which is going to be the chatos at the time you bought it, you're just going to have to wait until the kohen processes the birds in terms of his slaughtering of the birds. We turn now to the Gemara. Omar Rav Chisda, Ein Hakinim Misparshois. Misparshois means are identified. Birds are not identified in terms of Ola or Chatos. Ela Oy Belekichas Bailim Oy Basias Kain. Either at the time the owner buys it or the Kohen processes it. Omar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, my time of the Rav Chisda. What's the basis of Rav Chisda? The Psukim indicate Velokcha V'asa, and we learn from this, o bilakicha, or either at the time of purchase, o v'asio, or at the time of its being processed. You can see we now have a diamond marking, and on the side, the diamond represents kushios al Rav Chisda. So you have the diamonds, and they appear. We've numbered them as well. If you scan down the side of the Gemara, you can see 3 diamonds as you go down the page. So we start with the first one, and note it's also a long question. Meisve, the pasuk says we are so chatos. This is in the context of the seirim of Yom Kippur, the goat offerings of Yom Kippur, and it says we are so chatos. And this is, as the Brisa says, hagurl oisachatos, vein hashem oisachatos, the drawing of the lots establishes it as being a chatos and not the verbal proclamation. Sheyochol. Now, without the posuk, I would have thought, valo dinhu, through logic, we would conclude that a verbal proclamation should be able to establish the goat, which is going to be the goat that's offered as a sin offering, as such, and the other goat, which is known as the Sawyer Lazozel, as such. What's the logic? Uma b'mokun shelo kidesh hagurol kidesh hashem. Mind you, in a place, in a situation where the gorol does not establish. And when we say the place, that means all other korbanos. You don't have lot drawings with regard to other sacrifices. So with regard to all other sacrifices where the gorol doesn't function, and yet a verbal proclamation, verbal identification does. Mokim shekidesh hagurol eino din sheyikadesh hashem. And this is a reference to Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, where the gorol is effective, so all the more so, logic would say that the gorol, that the verbal proclamation shall be effective. So, what is the logic saying? In general, where we see that gorol is not effective, verbal proclamation or identification is effective. in establishing identity of sacrifice on Yom Kippur, when we know the goral is effective, certainly a verbal proclamation should be effective. So the pasuk says, no. Talmud loimar v'osel chatos. Hagoral oise chatos v'ein Hashem oise chatos. By virtue of the scriptural ruling, only the goral is effective and not a verbal proclamation. Now, in this piece of logic, there was this suggestion, and you can see we've dashed underline it, Eino din shiyakadesh Hashem. That point in time when the logic would have said that a verbal identification should certainly be effective, if not for the scriptural command otherwise, that would have worked. At this point in time, it's not the purchase time. The goats are standing there in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, the Azora of the Beis Hamikdash. And it's not a it's not the time of purchase, nor is that the time when it is actually slaughtered. And yet, if not for the pasuk, the verbal identification would have been effective. The Katani de Kova, and the source is telling me that it would have been effective. That's a kasha on Rav Chisda. So, just to maybe simplify matters, the timing of the goral in the Beis Hamikdash would have been a time that's not the purchase time, nor is it the processing time. And yet it would have been effective. Counter to Rav Chisda. Omar Rava Hachi Komaro. So Rava rereads the source with the logic and the posuk, but showing you that we can still preserve Rav Chisda's din. And it's as follows. Uma b'mokim shelo kidesh hagorol v'afilu b'shas l'kicha v'afilu b'shas asiya kidesh Hashem. In general, this first b'moko means in the place of general sacrifices, where the gorol is not effective, even if you try to, let's say, pull a lot out at the time you are purchasing your animal sacrifice or your bird sacrifice, or you try to pull a lot, pull a lot out of a hat at the time you're slaughtering the sacrifice. Even if you try to do the goral at those critical times, it's still not going to work. You have to have a verbal declaration. Just merely drawing a lot isn't going to establish a standard sacrifice's identity. So the logic is saying that where a goral does not work, and yet a verbal declaration does work, that's kidesh Hashem b'shasa l'kicho b'shasa siya, mokoim shekidesh hagorol. This is a reference to Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, where we know the gorol works, shelo b'shas l'kicho b'shelo b'shasa siya, the gorol on Yom Kippur is extremely powerful. It works even at times that are not the critical times. Eino din shekidesh Hashem b'shas l'kicho u'b'shas asiya. Certainly, a verbal declaration should work on Yom Kippur, at the time you're purchasing the goat offering, or at the time it's being slaughtered. Talmud lomar v'yoso chatos. Hagorol oise chatos v'ein Hashem oise chatos. Only the gorol establishes and not a verbal declaration. Now, in the course of this source, we saw the power of Kidesh Hashem, but it was restricted, and that's what we have dashed underline. It's restricted to the Shas Lekicha and the Shas Asiya, just like Rav Chisda. So you see that we were able to preserve Rav Chisda's din and still create the logic which would have led a verbal declaration to be effective on Yom Kippur, thereby needing a pasuk to say vis-a-vis Yom Kippur that only a goral will work. But just to repeat the main point, Rav Chisda's din is still intact. Toshma. So we continue with a second approach, a second attempt to question Rav Chisda. Note again that it takes a number of lines to develop. The marking that we've been using to highlight the main point is this double underline. where you can see the lav shas l'kicha and lav shas l'siya, and yet something seems to be binding and effective. That's where the question lies on Rav Chisda. So now the Gemara. Toshma mitami mikdash oni. Vehifrish mos l'kino veheshir. A person who violated the rules of purity with regard to entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. Just a word of background. There are certain offenses in the Torah where a person, if he committed the offense, he has to bring a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that these several places in the Torah are sacrifices that are dependent on the person's income level or wealth level. That is, if a person is a man of means, so he'll bring an animal sacrifice. He'll bring a singular animal, let's say a korban chatas. What we're doing now is giving an example that's tailor-made to this Gemara. There are other examples with variations on the theme, but we don't want to get into too many details. So there's this situation, the Metame Mikdash is one of those examples of what we'll call sliding rule sacrifices, depending on income level or wealth level, so that a Matama Mikdash, who is a man of means, he's Oshir, he'll bring a cow sin offering of Chatas Behema. If he is more limited means, he'll bring a bird offering, and the bird offering is made of two birds. One is a Chatas and one is an Ola. Noting that and when he brings the much larger animal offering, he's only bringing one, and it is a sin offering. When he's bringing the much less expensive bird offering, there happen to be two birds. One is a chatos, and one is an ola. And if he can't afford even that, so there is a meal offering that he could bring, but we're not going to bring that into the picture. That is the background. So we read here in this source that someone who was a metame mikdash, he was a violator of the rules of purity vis-a-vis entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, and he was a man of limited means, and he set aside money. V'hifrish mos l'kino, he set aside money for his bird offering, and the bird offering is a joint chatos and ola. V'he'eshir, and he became wealthy. He won the lottery. His business investments yielded great returns. He inherited money. Whatever, he became rich. And now he hasn't brought his sacrifice yet. So now he has to bring a sacrifice of a rich man. V'achakach omar, and then he had the pile of money that he has set aside for the bird offering, and he still made reference to a bird offering, and he said elu l'chatosoy v'elu la'olasoy. He earmarked one part of the pile. He set aside a pile of money for a sin offering, bird sin offering, and the other for a bird ola offering. Now, but didn't we say that he has to bring a cow, a sin offering cow? So the source goes on to say, Moisif umevi choivoso midme chatoso. The pile that he earmarked for the bird sin offering, he adds money to that pile, and will bring a behemoth. He'll bring an animal, a cow or an animal sin offering. V'ein moisif umevi choivoso midme olaso. However, he cannot add. He cannot add money to the ola pile and bring from that, use that money to bring a chatos. The monies are locked in. So before we go further in the Gemara, let us take a look at some information that Rashi shares with us. The Rashi that we're going to look at is at the lower part of the narrow lines, about five lines before they get wider. V'ein moisu humevi chatos behemo midme oloso. He can't add money to bring a chatos behemo, a behemo, an animal sin offering, from the money that he set aside as an olo. She'ein yochol l'shanoison l'mois shefrishon shekoro lohen shem oilo likach mehen chatos. He can't change their identity, money that he called or labeled as ola money, ola, and was intended for an ola bird offering, and now use those monies and add to it to bring a cow offering, or an animal offering. We see then in this source that there is a declaration, an identification of money at a time that is not the purchasing. It's not the time that he set aside the money, because if you look carefully in the source, he violated the Tumas Mikdash and he set aside money for his burnt offering. He didn't identify the monies at that time, just set them aside. And he's not buying any birds at this time either, so it's not a Shas Lekicha, and it's not a Shas Asiyah. And that's what the Gemara says, V'ahaha, the Lav Shas Lekicha, here where the identification is taking place, where the labeling of the monies, these chatos monies and the ola monies are taking place, it's the lav shas lekicha, it's not a purchase time, the lav shas asiyahi, nor is it the time of processing his sacrifice, v'katoni dekava, and it says in this source that it is fixed, it is established, as you can see, he can't change it, the ola money remains ola money. That is the question on Rav Chisda. Omar Rav Sheshes. Now you'll notice this is an answer, and it's a long answer. It takes us to the bottom line. Omar Rav Sheshes v'tisbara. Rav Sheshes says, you have to explain yourself. If you're trying to raise a question from this source, is this source reliable to begin with? V'homar Rav Elazar Omar Rav Hoshaya mitame mikdash ashir v'evi korban oni lo yotza. A person who is a man of means, who brings a poor man's korban, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. V'kevon d'lo yotza, and since he doesn't fulfill his obligation, it's what we call useless. Hechi kova, how does it get established? And let's go back to the case. We had a person who was a matam mikdash when he was an oni. He set aside money, and then he became rich, and then he thought he's going to use those original monies that were meant for an oni korban and still use that. But he can't use that. He's not going to fulfill any obligation with that. So how can you say that things get established at that point? Now, we've put a little aleph here, lo yotza, because we're going to see an opinion later, the bottom line, Rav Choga Omer Rav Hoshaya, that says that he is yotze. But for the meantime, we're saying he's not yotze. So Elamayis Loch Meimar, this source that said that the monies did get established, what are you going to have to say? Shekvar Omar Mea Niuso. You'll have to say that he must have made this declaration when he was still poor. So Hochanami Shekvar Omar Mishas Hafrosha. So once you're saying that what you see in the source isn't exactly what happened, so I'm going to tell you also that he made his declaration when he initially set aside the money, and that's why it took hold. But once again, that's what Rav Chisda says, that if you are saying it b'shas lekicha, that's purchase, or in the case of money, this time that you're setting aside the money, that's the same thing as shas lekicha, so then is the time that it gets locked in. And that's what happened over here. He made his declaration at the appropriate time. No question on Rav Chisda. The Gemara asks, Ula Rav Choga Omar Rav Hoshaya, the Omar Yotza, Rav Hoshaya, Rav Yoshio says that a person who's rich, who brings a poor man's sacrifice, is Yotze, so that the source that we brought in the diamond number 2 can be kept as it is. So my Iko Lamemar, the Gemara, we're at the top of Omid Beis, what is there left to say? In other words, we see money's identity getting established at a time other than Shas Lekicha or Shas Asiyah. That's a question that goes back onto Rav Chisda. So the Gemara answers, Lo Tema V'achar Kach Omar. You see, we have a little arrow to the right hand side of the Gemara text. You line that up with the arrow back on Omid Aleph. That's where the V'achar Kach Omar line appeared. That's where the phrase appeared. So don't read the source as V'achar Kach Omar, Ela Emo, the achakach lokach the Omar. The man had become rich, and then what did he do? He then went ahead and purchased birds. Well, at the time that he purchased the birds, so then things can get locked in. That's in accordance with Rav Chisda. The Gemara asks, how can you say that explanation? Lokach, he purchased. Moisif umevi chayvaso mainihu. What is meant in the source? If you already have a bird there, a bird sin offering, how do you add money to an existing bird? The source spoke about adding money to buy a cow offering. How do you add money to a bird? So the Gemara answers, deparikle, you redeem the bird. You redeem the bird, transfer its sanctity onto money, and add to that money. The Gemara says, v'ha ain pidyon oaf. You can't redeem birds. Once you sanctify a bird as a sacrifice, it doesn't lend itself to being redeemed. Omar Rav Papa, kegoin shelokach predo achas. We're talking about a case where the source is talking about a case where he had purchased one bird. If the bird that he bought, in other words, what the Gemara is doing is preserving the language of the achakoch lokach v'omar. He did buy a bird, like Rav Chista says. That's the time things get locked in. So what happened in the source was that he bought one of the two birds. He bought one bird. Predo achas, one bird. E oilo zovan, if the one bird that he bought was an ola bird, so then he still has the cash for the chatos bird lying there as cash. Moisif umevi choivoso mimei chatoso. He'll add money from out of pocket to the chatos bird money that was there and buy a behemoth, and buy an animal, chatos sin offering. High oila, and the bird offering that he has, azlo linadova. He can't, it'll be used as a voluntary sacrifice, because as a rich man, there is no oila that is a component of his sacrifice. E chatos zovan, if the singular bird that he bought happened to be a chatos, ein moisif umevi chavaso midme oila. So then he doesn't add money to the ola bird money that's there, because he has no need for an ola. The high chatos azlo misan, the bird sin offering that he bought is set aside to die. It has no use. Gufa. Now the Gemara quotes that which we had mentioned before in passing. We have Omar Rabbi Elazar, number one, and Rav Choga, number two, the two opinions that we just seen with regard to a Metame Mikdosh Oshir that brought a Korban Oni. So Omar Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shai, Metame Mikdosh Oshir, Behevi Korban Oni, Lo Yotza. If you are a man of means and you bring a poor man's sacrifice, you don't get credit. Rav Choga, Omar Rabbi Yishaya, Yotza. And Rav Choga, quoting Rav, here his name is spelled with a hey, Rav Hoshia on the bottom of Omer Aleph, the name was spelled with an Aleph. Let's assume that, to make things simple, that we're talking about the same Rav that he's quoting. So he says that he is Yotze. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, Mitzor Oni, Shehevi Korban Oshir, Yotza. A Mitzora, person who is afflicted with Tzoras, is another example of one of these, we'll say, sliding price sacrifices. So if he's a man who is in a Mitzora, that at the end of his Tzoras period, he has to bring sacrifices. So if he brings the sacrifice of a rich man, well, he's overextending himself maybe, but he's Yotze with that. Oshir Shehevi Korban Oni. Now this we've dashed underlined, Oshir, who brings a Korban Oni, like we dashed underline just before, the Oshir that brings a Korban Oni. Here we're talking about Mitzora, and it says here that if an Oshir brings a Korban Oni, Lo Yotza. So this would be a Kasha on Rav Choga. And you could see with our dot underlining marking method that we're trying here, that we're showing here, to highlight the main problem. In the source we see Lo Yotza versus Rav Choga, who we dot underline Yotza. The Gemara says, Shaini Hosan, the case of Mitzora is different. In other words, you're dealing with here are apples and oranges. Rav Choga was talking about the case of a Metame Mikdosh. This source is talking about a different realm of a problem. It's talking about a Mitzora. So the case of Mitzora is different. Dichtiv Zois. In the realm of Mitzora, there's a limitation expression, which means that you have to bring only that which you are expected to bring. And hence, an Oshir is limited to bringing an Oshir Korban, and not and doesn't get away with bringing the cheaper korban oni. If that's the case, so then the Aleph example as well, namely the case of the oni that brings the korban asher, should also not be yotze, because zos is a limitation expression. The one says, well, ha ravi rachmona toiras. There's a word that counterbalances that. The word toras is inclusive, meaning that when it comes to the bringing of a korban asher, not only does an asher fulfill his obligations with that, but a poor man also could be yotze, fulfills it with that. V'ha tanya, and here's a source that supports this. Toiras, the rabbis mitzora oni shehevi korban asher. This includes the case of a poor mitzora that brings the type of sacrifice that a rich man would bring, that he's yotze. Yochalafilu asher shehevi korban oni. Would you say in the other way around, that an asher, a man of means that brings the poor man's korban, he too will fulfill his obligation? Tamar lomar zois. So you have the word zois, which is limiting, meaning that a rich man is limited to a korban osher and not a korban oni. The Gemara asks, v'neilaf mina, why not learn from mitzora, where the scripture is clear, to the realm of tomei mikdash, which would then mean that an osher shevi korban oni does not yotze, and yet Rav Chaga says that he is yotze. So why doesn't Rav Chaga use the mitzora as a precedent setter? Gemara says, "Mie rachmana v'im dal hu." In the case of mitzora, there's a limitation that, namely, who? It's who is him? Only him. That an osher that brings a korban oni is not yotze. Only in that case do we say, in the mitzora case, he's not yotze. But other chayve korban oy leviore, but other types of people that are obligated in sacrifices that have this sliding scale to them, then we don't say that they are lo yotze, but they are yotze, as Rav Chaga would have you understand. We continue with the new Mishnah, and this involves the tying of a dyed piece of wool to the Sor HaMishtaleach and the confessional associated with the Sor HaMishtaleach. Sor HaMishtaleach is the goat that's sent away to a cliff carrying with it the sins of Israel. So the Mishnah says, Koshar Loshan Shel Zahiris Beroish Sor HaMishtaleach, a crimson dyed wool of a piece of wool is tied to the head of the goat that is sent away, the hamido keneged base shilucho, and it's positioned at the exit point of the base hamigdash, ulanishchat keneged base shchitoso. This phrase is unclear, and the Gemara will show two ways of reading this phrase, but it's referring to the nishchat as the other goat that's slaughtered as a sin offering. Ba lo etzel poro shnia, he comes to his cow that is still standing there in the courtyard. V'somech shtei yodov olov, and places his hands, the Kohen Gadol places his hands on the cow's head, umisvadeh, and issues a confessional. V'kach oy omer, and thusly he would pray. Ono Hashem, and the order of the words that are in parentheses is there's a suggested reversal order. Avisi poshati chotosi lefonecha. Ani ubesi ubnei Aaron am kedoshecha. That he, the Kohen Gadol, confesses his own sins, his household sins, and the sins of the other Kohanim. Ono Hashem, kaperno lavonis lapshoyim v'chatoim. And a turn to the Almighty to forgive and atone for our various kinds of sins. She'avisi v'she'poshati v'she'chotosi lefonecha. Ani uvesi ubnei Aaron am kedoshecha. That we sinned to you, as it says in the Torah, Kalsu b'tzoris Moshe avdecha, as it says in your Torah, the Torah of Moshe, your servant, ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tayir eschem mikol chatoisechem lifnei Hashem titoru. There is a declaration on the part of the Almighty that on this day I will forgive you of all your sins. Vehein, Oinin Achrov, and the those that are assembled in the Azora of the Beis Hamikdash respond, Boruch, Shem, Kavoid, Malchusoy, Leolam, Voed. Blessing the kingdom of the Almighty forever and ever. Here we turn to the star that you see here and in the Mishnah, alongside the Gemara, Ubailo Ulanishchat. The reference in the Mishnah to the goat that will be slaughtered. It said in the Mishnah, Ulanishchat Keneged Beis Shchitaso. What does that mean? Akshira koi? Is it a reference to the tying of a piece of wool around the neck? And the word nishchat, when the Mishnah says beis shchitaso, beis shchitaso will be a reference to the neck. That's the part of the animal that is slaughtered, that's cut. So do we say that lenishchat, the reference in the Mishnah is to the tying, like there was a tying on the goat sent away, there would be a tying, and the tying, as opposed to the case of the goat, it was tied to the head, to the horns of the scapegoat. Here, it's tied to the neck. Oi, or the reference in the Mishnah is not a reference to tying any wool whatsoever. It's ahamoda koi, meaning the goat to be slaughtered is repositioned to a point in the Azara that it will be slaughtered. Beis shritaso then doesn't mean neck, but in that it would mean, if you say that it's referring to Hamada, where it stood, where it's positioned to stand, then Beis shritaso would mean the place in the courtyard that it would be slaughtered. So, again, the two possibilities. Either the reference to the nishcha, to the sin offering goat, it's a reference to tying wool around its neck, or it's a reference to positioning the goat without any wool, no wool, but repositioning it to where it will be slaughtered. Toshma, the Toni Rav Yosef. We have an answer. Notice the answer lasts a number of lines of Gemara. So Rav Yosef cites a Tanaic source from which we'll be able to come to a conclusion. It says, Koshar Loshen Shel Zahoris Beroish Samashalech, a dyed crimson wool is tied to the head of the goat sent away, vehemidoi keneged beis shilucho, and it was stood, it was positioned to at the point that it would be sent out of the beis hamikdash, v'lanishchat keneged beis shchitaso. This phrase, by the way, is the same phrase as it appears in the Mishnah. However, in this source, it explains what do I gain by taking the nishchat and placing it keneged beis shchitaso. Shelo yisarev ze boze velo yisarev bachirim. Whatever this means, ulenishchat keneged beis shchitaso, I know two things will result. One is that the nishchat won't get mixed up with the send away goat, and velo yisarev bachirim, it won't. There's no chance it will get mixed up with other goats either. So what did he do to the nishchat? I amrs bishlamo akshiro koi shapir. If you say that the reference is to the tying around the neck of the nishchat, then I see how the two problems we listed as 1 and 2 in the source are solved. This soyer lashem won't get mixed up with the soyer amishtalech. Why not? Well, the soyer amishtalech, though it also has a piece of wool tied, it's tied at a different part of the body. It's tied around its horns, whereas the nishchat, the wool is tied around its neck. Likewise, it won't get mixed up with other goats either, because other goats don't have any wool tied to them whatsoever. So if you say that the reference to the nishchat, keneged beshchitoso, is a reference to tying of wool around its, the slaughtered one's, neck, then this source makes perfect sense. Elo, I amrs amodakoi, if you say that with regard to the animal that will be offered as a sacrifice, the second goat, there's one goat that's sent away that we're not focusing on right now, and there's the goat that's going to be slaughtered as a sin offering. And if you say that regarding that, it's simply a matter of repositioning it in the courtyard to the place that it will be slaughtered, but no tying of wool whatsoever. Nehi de b'chavrei lo ma'ariv, the high kotir bay, the high low kotir bay. Granted, the nishchat won't get mixed up with the mishtaleach, because the mishtaleach has wool around it, and the nishchat has no wool around it, so they won't get mixed up. However, the second point, the achrini mihas mi'arev, but it could get mixed up with other goats. This nishchat, the soyer lashem, which is destined to be slaughtered as a sin offering, well, it could easily get mixed up with other goats. Elolav shma mino, akshiro koi, shma mino. So we have to conclude that the nishchat reference, nishchat base keneged beis shchitaso, since it's going to ensure that it won't get mixed up with the other one, with the mishtalech, nor will it get mixed up with other goats, it has to be a reference to the tying of a strip of wool around its neck. And beis shchitaso then means around its neck. And hence the Gemara says, elolav shma mino, akshiro koi shma mino. This is conclusive. We continue in the Gemara with a section where you can see there's a lot of marking that takes place, and therefore we'll make reference to the note on the side, the note, say, the topic heading, where we've written Loshon Zahoris. Loshon means a strip of wool. Zahoris is, it's dyed in a red crimson color, and this Loshon Zahoris figures in a number of different areas in the Torah. The Parah Aduma, with regard to the processing of the red heifer who was slaughtered and blood sprinkled while it was being processed on the Mount of Olives facing the Beis HaMikdash. So in that process, a Loshon Zahoris figures. B'Mitzora, in the case of Mitzora, the Pasuk makes reference to a Shni Tolas, which is the source of the dye for the wool, but in the Mitzora process, this Loshon Zahoris appears, and we say Mosai Tzricha Shiur Umawa Shiur. When does it require a fixed amount or quantity or size of wool, amount of wool, and what is that amount? In other words, we're looking for in terms of wool, we'll be looking for a certain amount of wool in weight to fashion from it these different strips of wool per different needs. Under the Mivneh heading, you see a triangle appears, and that triangle will be used to highlight Dinim Shel Reb Yitzchok Sheomer Shomati. He will introduce halachas concerning which he says, I heard something. And you'll see one over here, and on Mem Beis Omed Aleph, there is another comment of Rav Yitzchok where he says, he introduces it in the same fashion, of course referring to something else. The diamond will highlight halachos binyan halashonos, different halachos regarding these strips of wool. Later on the page, you'll see toward the end of the page, a bow tie form is used to highlight Rav Dimi and Ravin with their recognition of halachas regarding strips, but there they'll be referring to shalosh dinim shaloshonos, and you can see lower on the page a diamond appears, shalosh lashonos, and that's in contrast to the diamond that you see right now on this first wide line, shtei lashonos. And lashonos means, in this context, means strips of wool. Omar of Yitzchok, shtei lashonos shomati. I heard two halachas regarding strips of wool, lashon zahoris, so it's dyed crimson wool. Achas shel pora v'achas shel soyer mishtalech. One in the context of the pora, and pora means pora aduma, the red heifer, and the other in the context of the goat sent away with the sins on Yom Kippur. Achas tzricho shiur v'achas eino tzricho shiur. One requires a minimum amount, and the other not. In other words, it would be kosher even if it's of a negligible amount. V'lo yodana he minam, and I don't know which is which. In other words, I have the pora and the sermish taleach, wool needs, which one requires an amount and which one doesn't. Omar Rav Yosef, Nechsi Anan. So Rav Yosef suggests, maybe we can figure it out on our own. Shel Soya Mishlech, the boy Chaluka, boy Shior. We know regarding the Soya Mishlech strip. Chaluka means it was split. That is, when the goat was sent off the cliff, so part of the wool strip was tied to the horns of this goat that would tumble off the cliff, and the other was tied to a rock that remained above. So that's chalukah. So the strip of wool needed to be split into two. So you have to have a minimum amount in order to be able to do that. Shel parah the lo boy chalukah lo boy shiur. In the case of the parah, duma, there's no splitting, so it doesn't have to have a shiur. So that the in the case of the parah duma, where the pasuk says, and Rashi quotes this pasuk, "V'lokach hakoyin eitz erez v'eizoiv u'shni tolas." Shni tolas is the piece of wool that's dyed with this dye that we call a shni tolas. There's no splitting in that case, so it doesn't have to have a minimum shi'or, a minimum amount. Maskif lo Romi bar Chamo. So Romi challenges Rav Yosef and says, the para nami boy koved. With regard to the para, there is a need for a minimum amount because it needs to have weight. Because the pasuk says that this eitz erez v'ezov and shnei tolas are thrown, and the pasuk's loshen, and you can see this in Rashi in the last narrow line, he says el toich srefas apara. It's thrown into the fire where the cow carcass is burning. So in order to fall deep into the fire, it's got to have a certain weight to it. So that, how can you say that the parah doesn't have any shi'ur requirement? It's got to have a weight, a sufficient weight to go deep into the fire. Omar le Rava, koved tanoihi. Rava says to Rami Bar Chama that the issue of koved happens to be a machlokes tanoim that will be featured later. So if it's a machlokes tanoim, so it could very well be that Rav Yitzchok is basing himself on that Tana that says you don't need to have koved. Question, Udapora lo boi chaluka, and as far as splitting the wool, in the case of the pora, is that not necessary? You said that that was necessary only by the Sar Mishalech, but you said a moment before, Rav Yosef said that as far as the pora is concerned, it doesn't need any splitting. Is that really so? Esve Abaye. Abai raises an objection. Ketzeru Oisa, how is it done in the case of the Pora Aduma? Korchon Bishyore Lashon. The word Shyore means remnant, that which remains. That which remains of the wool, so it's used to tie together. It's Korchon is to wrap around or tie, bind together the other materials. We have the Eitz Erez and the Ezov. So they're tied together with the remnants of the Shni Tolas, or of the Lashon Zahoris. So Shiore means something, it was split, and there's another part, another larger piece elsewhere. The Gemara says, no, don't read it as Shiore Lashon, but rather Emo Bezonov Lashon. Zonov literally is a tail. So Rashi makes reference to this wool was combed in such a way that it took on the shape, it was tapered as a result of the combing, and hence it is called zonov and not shiore. Not, and there's no indication of it being split with a remnant and a larger part somewhere else. So with that, we're able to preserve Rav Yosef's statement that the pora lo boy chaluka. Omar Rav Chonin, Omar Rav, Eitz Erez v'Ushni Teilas SheKoltoson Shalheves Ksheira. A Shalheves is a flame, and we're talking about the Sreifa Sapora. These substances are, as the Torah says, are supposed to be thrown into the fire. So Rav Chonin, quoting Rav, says that the Eitz Erez and the Shni Tolas, which are part of the Pora Aduma processing, if they're caught by the flame, it's kosher, and it doesn't need to fall deep into the fire, as long as it's koltosan shalhemis. Shalhemis is a flame, and it's caught in the flame without falling deep into the fire. As Rashi says, it became singed in midair. The Gemara asks Meisvei, Nishav Ev Aloshon, maybe Loshon Acher Mekadesh, if the Loshon, if the strip of wool got singed, you've got to bring another one and sanctify means and put it in the fire, so that it's got singed is not good. It doesn't, you're not Yotzei with that. Here you have to bring another one. Omar Abai Lo Kasha. It depends. There's no contradiction here. Kan b'koilachas, kan b'nichfefes. If the fire is burning in a kolachas, a pillar fashion, so that the singeing took place literally in midair, so then you'll have to bring another one. Rav Chonan, who said it's kosher, is where you're dealing with a fire that's creeping on the ground. In other words, a very low flame, and since it's low flame and it's near the coals, we can say that you have fulfilled what the Pasuk says, El Toch, means into the midst of the fire. And that's what the Torah requires, and you will fulfill that if it's a type of fire described as Nichfefes. Rava, he represents a second approach to resolve. We have Rav Chonan Omar Rav versus the source. Rava Omar, Koved Tanoihi, the issue of the the wool and the substance needing a weight to it is a machlokes tanoim. Tisanya, lama korchon. Why are they bound together? We have the eitz erez type of wood and the azov, another type of branch, and the shnitolas. Why are they bound together? Kedeshu kulon ba'aguda achas divrei Rebbe, so that they are all together. They need to be taken at one time. The pasuk says v'lokach, and you shall take etzeres ve'ezu shnitolas. So you have to be take them in one shot. So they have to all be bound together. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer kedei shei bohen koved v'yiplu l'toich sreifa sapora. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, he is the one that says that they need to have a sufficient weight to fall into the depths or the heart of the fire. But if you don't hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, it all that's necessary is that they're tied together for the sake of being tied together. So then it doesn't. So then, it's sufficient that it became singed by the fire. You fulfilled your requirements. It doesn't have to fall into the depths, into the heart of the fire. That consideration would be something that only Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds by. Ki also Rav Dimi Om Rav Yochanan. Well, when Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Shalosh Lishonos Shamati. There are three halachas of wool that I have heard, wool strips that are dyed red. Achas shel pora, achas shel sorim mishalech, v'achas shel mitzora. Achas, one of them, and so we have three halachas, the pora duma, the sor hamishtalech, and the mitzora, and three weights. But which weight applies to which case, so that he doesn't spell out, as we'll see. Achas mishkal asor zuz, one has the weight of 10 zuz, v'achas mishkal shnei sloim, the other has the weight of 2 sela. 2 sela is, in all likelihood, is would be 8 zuz, and v'achas mishkal shekel, shekel is half a sela, and if a sela is 4 zuz, so this would be 2 zuz. V'ein li lefar, so I've got 10, 2 sela, and a shekel. Which applies to which? So he says, I don't know. He also, Ravin, Pir Shomish made the Rabbi Yonason. When Ravin came, he said over, he explained it in the name of Rabbi Yonason as follows. And we continue with the Gemara at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And you can see three cases, Shel Pora, Mishkal, Asora, Zuz. The Pora, which needs weight to it, and this of course is in accordance with the opinion that we saw for Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that it needs weight, so it has to have, it'll have the most weight of the three different quantities, 10 zuz. V'shel soyer amshlech, the soyer amshlech doesn't need weight, but it needs division. It needs to possibly divide it, so it's enough if it's mishkal shnei sloim, if it has that weight. And v'shel mitzora equals mishkal shekel. The mitzora that doesn't need weight, and it doesn't need to be split, so a shekel weight of wool will be enough. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, pligi bo Reb Shimon ben Chalafta v'rabonon b'para. You can see on the side of the Gemara under our Mivne heading, we have a double underline featuring Machlokas Reb Yochanan and Reb Yirmi Midifti. They will be arguing, and b'mecholkin, they are arguing as to what the earlier Rabbonim, Reb Shimon ben Chalafta and the Rabbonon, argue about. So it's, they're going to be arguing as to what they are arguing about. Bepora o besor hamishtaleach. Are they arguing about the pora or the case of the sor hamishtaleach? Beinyan regarding the topic of mishkal haloshen zahuris, the weight of the loshen zahuris asora zuz o shekel. Note these are two extreme quantities. Either the greatest amount asora zuz or the least amount a shekel. That will become much clearer, though, as we go on in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, pligi bo Reb Shimon ben Chalafta v'Rabbonon b'pora. Reb Yochanan claims Reb Shimon Chalafta and Rabbonon have an argument regarding the loshon, the strip of wool, with regard to the pora aduma. Chad omar mishkal asor, v'chad omar mishkal shekel. One says the maximum amount, the 10 zuz weight, and the other one says the shekel weight. In order to remember that neither opinion says the middle weight, but rather they take the two extreme weights and they argue. They expression, it's a well-known expression found in, Rashi quotes this from Maseches Menachos. And if you remember this expression, Echol Amarbe means whether the greatest or Mamit the least, so you remember that the two quantities that figure into the machlokis is either the 10 zuz versus the shekel, and not the two sela, which was the middle quantity. Omar le Rav Yirmi Midifti the Ravina. Rav Yirmi addresses Rav Yochanan, Rav Yirmi addresses Ravina regarding that which Rav Yochanan says. It says, lo bepora pligi, their argument doesn't concern the case of the pora duma, elo besari mishalech pligi, their argument of one saying 10 zuz and the other one saying a mishkal of one shekel is within the case of the sar mishtaleach. Vahu yoma, and that day, noch nafshe de Ravio bar Kisi, this gentleman passed away, Ravio bar Kisi, the anchu bo Simona, and they placed a memory device, Ravio bar Kisi, mechaper kisar mishtaleach. He was a very pious individual, and the Gemara in Moed Katan that Rashi quotes says that the death of tzaddikim is a source of atonement. So he says that Rava Bar Kisi mechaper kisoyer hamishtaleach, and the reference to the Sar Mishtaleach enables us to remember, like Rav Yirmi Midifti said, that the machloikis between Rav Shimon Chalafta and the Rabbonin concerned the Loshon Zahoris for the Sar Hamishtaleach. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.